Well, it's the 1st of August today, and I'm a 20% equity partner in a new business and starting a new podcast, and you know, I'm going to be full-time in the Bitcoin space. Had I not asked that question, what is the worst that can happen, I might easily still be in that previous job.
Welcome to the Bitcoin Talent Code podcast, where we interview entry-level to C-level executives about working in the Bitcoin industry. Learn about their interview process, what they do day-to-day at their Bitcoin job, and advice for current job seekers looking to work full-time in Bitcoin. Hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome to the Bitcoin Talent Code podcast. I'm your host, Eric Podwatchki, and today I'm joined by my friend, Jake Woodhouse, who is a partner at the Bitcoin Advisor. Thanks for joining me, Jake.
Thanks so much for having me, Eric.
Yeah, I think this will be a really fun episode, actually, because you've done the proof of work beforehand that led to you getting a Bitcoin job and really joining a great group of people here. So we'll let the audience know the full story. So we'll start at the very beginning. Before Bitcoin, what exactly were you doing professionally?
So I grew up in the UK and was from a family of generational entrepreneurs, to be honest. But we have a business which is a beer company, and we sell traditional real ale in the UK, and we run some pubs. So I was always surrounded by business-minded philosophy, thinking about, you know, how to grow the company, how to protect the company. I was, or am, the 8th generation of that business to own shares, and it's still owned by the family. So a really cool kind of background there. And predominantly that led my interest in business. So I went to a business management degree at Leeds University in the north of the UK, having grown up in the south. And after that, I knew I didn't want to work for the company necessarily, at least to start with in my career. So I was hunting around for really anything I could find. And I always figured that the personal connection network was a more appropriate way of finding a job than doing online applications to, you know, one of the big four consulting companies. It's like They literally tell you on a transparent basis, there's 500 applicants for one place. It's like, well, that's fucking pointless. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Long story short, through one of my aunt's friends, I got a conversation with a guy who worked in the shipping industry. And from him, Charlie Barn, shout out to Charlie, wherever he is, he gave me a list of companies and a list of names within those companies in the shipping industry to try and get conversations with. And I ended up getting work with a shipbroking company called SSY. That lasted for about a year. And after which I ended up getting a second job in the shipping industry with another company called Arrow. And they were based, in this case, in Singapore. So I moved from London over to Singapore, which was kind of the first half of the last decade of my career, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Now, I can go into more details of what a ship broker is, and that's always quite interesting. There's three large markets in the shipping space: the wet market, the dry market, and the containers. So wet is anything that's a liquid, essentially. So crude oil, natural gas, you need a tanker. They've got a double hull and a screw top. And they're obviously, you know, pretty important to the energy trade, etc. Then you've got the dry bulk market, which is where I worked. It's basically just a floating bucket, and you have, you know, iron ore, coal, grain, sand, cement, all sorts of different dry bulk goods. And then finally, containers is, you know, big brands like Maersk and their boxes moving, you know, fast moving consumer goods like electronics and stuff. As a ship broker in the dry cargo space, I focus predominantly on the iron ore market and Capesize ships. So it's moving iron ore from West Australia, I was based in Singapore, up to the steel mills in Korea, Japan, and China. That was also interspersed with some coal business. We're moving coal into, again, China for either electricity power generation or to the iron ore smelters themselves to power the iron ore mine, and steelmaking business. So yeah, got some awesome international exposure and learned how to do a lot of business development work. It was high paced. It was long hours. It was, you know, boozy. We were out in restaurants and nightclubs and stuff looking after customers. It was great fun. I loved it. to touch on Bitcoin though, which obviously is, I described this recently, it's like the mind share. So we have a professional capacity of, let's say, 100%. You've got your private life alongside that. And from what was 2011 to 2016, when I exited that industry, Bitcoin mindshare was like sub 1%. In fact, in 2015, I bought my first Bitcoin, and that was under 1% of everything I owned of my net wealth. So the mind share, the capital allocation, like very, very small. I don't know how much more detail I should go into. I'll talk for too long if I'm not careful, but I...
Sure. Yeah, I guess we can stop right here. I guess what I'm trying to really bring out is like what you were doing professionally. Like what was the skill set you made for yourself and forged over those years before you got into Bitcoin? So it sounds like, you know, with your family, business, getting familiarity with that, and then with the shipping stuff, some more business development type of work?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's always customer facing type stuff.
Okay.
There is the next 5 years of my career that I should touch on that helps give more kind of Bitcoin relevance, shall we say. So the sad part of this story is my father, he died when he was only 48 years old and I was 20 at the time. And within a year or two of that, we decided to sell our family home that had been in the family for two or three generations. And I inherited some money. And so in my mid-20s, which is when I was working as a ship broker, I inherited some capital. And so alongside that professional career, I was also trying to work out, well, how do you protect wealth? And so I was using different tools that I came across at the time. So I invested into physical real estate. I invested into a diversified portfolio of public market assets like equities and bonds via a financial advisor in London. And it was part of that process that I also bought some Bitcoin. So kind of simultaneous to that professional career of being a broker, I was also, deeply interested in how to invest. And that's what really took me to the second half of my career so far, being that I decided to quit the shipping industry in favor of getting closer to that capital, trying to figure out how to start my own businesses and how to invest full time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the last, since 2016, so we're now talking almost 6 years, I've been very heavily interested in doing that. I did have another short stint as a ship broker in the last 18 months. I quit in October last year. So basically all my startups failed. Fucking disaster. You put money in, you put time in, your energy, your love, and it doesn't fucking work. You don't have any customers. It's like, this is an absolute fail. And so owning up to those failures has been hard. You're chipping away at your savings throughout that time as well to try and empower this vision of a future that you have. So through that, I did some angel investing. So I was looking for early stage technology companies to buy equity positions in that I saw had good growth potential. I was particularly focused on clean technology and sustainability at the time, which is a very interesting additional lens to have on what Bitcoin represents, which we can touch on later if you like. But long story short, I got better at due diligence and I got better at understanding business opportunities and just lots of mistakes, basically. I'll leave it there.
Yeah, I think that's what your 20s is for, honestly. It's going through those, trying to build things, making mistakes and learning along the way. It seems like over the last maybe year or two, you've really found yourself in the Bitcoin space and now you're building another company in this space. That's great.
Hey guys, real quick, as a Bitcoin-focused recruiting firm, our goal at Bitcoin Talent Co. is to bring as many professionals into the Bitcoin industry as possible. Since we don't run ads, our one ask is to rate, review, and share this podcast with friends and family so more people can find this show. Thanks, and now back to the interview.
So you mentioned back in 2015 or so, you bought Bitcoin for the first time. Walk me through your full Bitcoin story. When did you first hear about it? What led you up to buying it? And then we'll merge the two worlds together, pre-Bitcoin life and Bitcoin life.
It's fun, actually, because they are basically the same thing, like in terms of merging those two worlds. Mm-hmm. So Bitcoin story is fun. It's really fun. So shout out to Dan Burke, wherever Dan is in the world. He was my friend in Singapore who was mining Bitcoin in a warehouse in Singapore near Changi Airport somewhere. I mean, he was fucking miles ahead of the game in that sense. And I believe he worked at BitGo for a bit, and I'm not sure if he's still there, but Dan was really the person that said, Jake, you've got to look at this Bitcoin thing. Because alongside being a ship broker, I was really interested in technology, essentially, and what else was going on. And like many jobs, the learning curve at the start is very, very tough. But once you get through the first few years, it becomes a but it comes a bit monotonous. You're like, what am I doing every year? I'm not really building an equity position in anything. I'm just dependent on this brokerage, which means really you're just dependent on your last deal. And the markets can be so fickle, right? You know, if someone took you out for dinner the night before, you might get some brokerage. If you didn't take them out for dinner the night before, you didn't get any brokerage. It's like, that's got nothing to do with me supplying a good service and information. This is really frustrating. Yeah. So Bitcoin was just this whole brand new world. I was like, awesome, let's learn about this. And so I bought some, and I had no idea what I'd bought, frankly. I wrote it up from December 2015 at, I don't know, it was about $300 US at the time. And I made some good money, basically. So 2016, I sold some to take my wife on a trip, my girlfriend at the time, to Japan on holiday. And then in 2017, we'd done a big trip around South America, backpacking, which was freaking awesome. We decided, you know, if there was ever a time to take some true travel time, it's going to be now before we did get married and have kids, etc. Another funny story there being I went through Cuba and logged into my Coinbase account, and the Cuban sanctions regulations kicked in, and all my Bitcoin was frozen in a Coinbase account. I was like, wow. Oh my God, this is a fucking disaster. Just for trying to check the price. I wasn't trying to trade it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully I got it unlocked and I got it back out. But it's just one of those crazy times you think back on, like, that actually happened? Wow.
Because you also weren't using it custodially too.
No, it was in a Coinbase
account. Not in your control.
And actually, yeah, that was right, I think, if I remember correctly. But that 2017 summer, so that was when the block size war was in like full pace. And there was all of these different articles coming out from different places about, you know, are we going to increase the block size? It was basically just lots of uncertainty. And with lots of uncertainty, you're like, well, Jay, you're actually sitting on some really good gains. Like, it's foolish not to take more off the table.
Hmm.
So of my original position, I sold about 75%. Over 2016 and 2017. But thankfully, I still own some of that position even to today. So I just left it, right? I was like, okay, whatever, I'll sell some and keep the rest, see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Another fun part of the Bitcoin story to talk about was January of 2018. I wanted to buy a car, and I was in London on eBay, and I found this advert for a 1980s Mercedes SL that said, "We'll exchange for crypto." And it was just after the hard fork, and I had this Bitcoin cash that I didn't want. So I ended up going to a car park in North London and spending literally 3 or 4 hours with this guy. He's dead. He's dead now, actually. He was a rapper called Black Ripper, just sitting there smoking doobies the whole time. And we had to send like 0.001, you know, via Binance to like make sure it was working, and then like send the whole lot across. And it would have taken 10 minutes with a wadge of cash, and actually this didn't. Anyway, long story short, some fun moments that you look back and think you just don't know what you're dealing with at all. What I've now described as, I'm a sailorite, if there's such a thing. So October 2020, I watched a YouTube video in which Raoul Powell interviewed Michael Saylor. And Michael talked through his story and how he'd gone and bought $425 million worth of Bitcoin. And he'd called it a treasury reserve asset. And specifically in that conversation, he was talking and he posed the question, how do I know that the management of my business has the best opportunity to survive 100 years from now? And that was one of the things that just resonated so strongly, because I was trying to manage this wealth that I'd inherited, but I want to keep it for 100 years. It's not a case of like, let's chuck it in speculative and flip it. It's like, no, we want to keep it as long as we possibly can and give it to the next generation in the best way possible. And that was really when this light switch got turned on, and I go, okay, hang on, I've got to pay more attention here. And from my angel investing time, which was really 2017, 2018, I learned that it's totally fine to leverage other people's research when investing. If anything, it's what you should do. I'm never going to be necessarily, I don't think, the CEO, founder of a NASDAQ technology company with a legal team and an accounting team and a load of regulations trying to push through purchasing Bitcoin on my balance sheet. I'm not going to be Michael Saylor, but I can look at that and go, well, that's an extraordinary move. Why has that been a possible? Okay, perhaps I can learn from that. And so it was really then that I started to think about, how do I start to transition what I own into this new thing that is Bitcoin? It was legitimized, essentially. And so through that, I started a newsletter. So I started writing on Substack in 2021. And then in 2022, I started a podcast called Bitcoin with Jake. And I was particularly interested in people's personal journeys. So just to use Michael Saylor as an example, you know, highly trained MIT rocket scientist that ends up being in the software industry and founds a business and is a very wealthy guy who is extremely well educated in all things business, all things investment, and his history. When you watch Robert Breedlove's What Is Money, you know, 9-episode beast,
oh, I watched the full thing.
Extraordinary, right?
Yeah. Like,
whoa, this is insane.
Hmm.
The point is, you can leverage other people's due diligence, and so that's what I find when I talk to people about their personal journeys, much like this conversation now. So everything I'm talking about is me trying to figure out what Bitcoin is in relation to what I knew before. And I can't find a hole in this thing. I can't find a mistake with it. I can't find any reason but to throw myself in head first. And that's really where I'm at now. So my net asset allocation reflects my Bitcoin interest. And so of everything I own, it's about 40 to 50%. And that 40, 50% is really my investable assets. The rest is stuff that's illiquid. So 90% of investable assets in Bitcoin, the rest in cash. And I'm now involved in a business called the Bitcoin Advisor. So when moving large quantities of money out of the traditional system into the new, there is a bunch of steps you've got to take that aren't very straightforward. And ultimately, when thinking at things from an inheritance perspective, you've got to make sure that you get it right for the what-if scenario. So you can move, you know, let's say you've got $1 million and someone wants to move this as a high net wealth investor into Bitcoin, and they do it and they use Coinbase, and then Coinbase gets imploded. It's like, well, they get, you know, their assets frozen. Okay, well, you had counterparty risk. Okay, so what's self-custody? Okay, let's do self-custody with one key. And it's like, okay, so I've got to remember the code on this hardware wallet. And if I lose the hardware wallet, I've got the backup seed phrase. Okay, that sounds good. Well, what happens if I die tomorrow by a bus hitting me or whatever? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'm going to tell my wife how it works. And then she's going to be grief-stricken.
That's the number one question I get, by the way.
You know. Yeah, right? So it's like, okay, how do we solve that? Well, multi-sig comes along. It's like, okay, well, now you can have a 2 of 3 multi-sig vault. Mm-hmm. So you spread the keys around. Let's say you sign up with Unchained. You get 2 keys. They get 1. But then I found myself, you know, I stored a key in a lockbox business, you know, 10 minutes drive away from home, which frankly, it can't legally let my wife in there if I had died to get what's in the box, right?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't actually make sense in the kind of what if scenario. So during my kind of Bitcoin investment journey, came across a guy called Peter Dunworth. So shout out to Pete, who's now my business partner. But he had developed a product where, as a high net wealth family advisor, he manages a key on behalf of his customer.
Okay.
So you take the 2 of 3 multi-sig, Unchained keeps their key, and the 2 keys that they issue, one of them is then managed by him, and one was then managed by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete then became an excellent intermediary for my wife, if needs be, to call in the worst case scenario, or equally just to talk through and educate her on like why Bitcoin was important versus other assets. Anyway, Pete's business, he's decided to scale up. And he's brought me in to work alongside him as what I would describe as the ultimate kind of cheerleader of the business. So I've been through this process and I know how important it is to have help. And that's why I'm so excited about it. The early traction has been great. It's cool. So yeah, that's my Bitcoin story.
That's a great story, honestly. You're almost an OG getting back in the day. I would love to learn more about the business, what you guys are offering, what the team's like. Before we get there, I want to touch upon the newsletter you started and the Bitcoin podcast you started both in 2021, 2022. One of my main pieces of advice for job seekers looking to get in Bitcoin is to start a proof of work project, which is essentially that, a newsletter, a blog, anything. Can you highlight exactly what led up to you starting that? What was the impetus? And then how did it go? Was it something that was just a side thing for you, or did you start getting more serious? Did you find yourself liking it more as you did more episodes?
Great, great question. And I love this subject. So marketing is becoming a subject that I think I could be deeply passionate about for the rest of my life, regardless of the business case. And that's something that Bitcoin has kind of brought out of me in the rabbit hole journey. So exactly where it goes, excuse me. exactly where that journey goes, I'm not sure yet. But the process of starting a newsletter, it's just the most intellectually stimulating conversation I've ever come across, Bitcoin. You know, it mm-hmm. touches on economics, it touches on business, it touches on human rights, it touches on health, it touches on environmental sustainability. It's just such a multifaceted conversation that I just was just completely obsessed by almost immediately mm-hmm. post that 2020 YouTube video I mentioned. And part of me just like, oh my God, and I was looking at these Bitcoin podcasts. It's like, what a fucking awesome job, like talking about Bitcoin all day long. And it's like, it's kind of an investment, but it's also a technology. It's also a social movement. So it's deeply cultural. It's just all of these things combined. So at the time I was keen on something that I could do in out of hours time. So I started working as a ship broker again in May of 2021. And I think I started the newsletter in August of 2021. So it was very much a side project. And what I decided to do was take three stories of basically bits of content I'd consumed that week and distill them into my personal insights. So that was what the newsletter was for, in a sense. I should take a step before that. I for some reason figured out that Bitcoin was going to be this just huge, huge topic very early on. And I started documenting and curating what I was going through. So before the newsletter, I actually started I built this website, bitcoinwithjake.com, and it was for everything I had listened, read, and watched. And it's just a Notion database with a, you know, $12 a month plugin on top that you can access. And in there is now hundreds of hours of books, articles, podcasts, and YouTube videos that I've personally been through as part of this kind of educational process. And through that, you know, I was loving reading stuff, and I had this full-time job, which meant I couldn't organize podcast sessions that easily. And so I wanted to write about it. And that's where the newsletter kind of came from. It was helpful to learn. It was just quite fun to create content. That then got to, I think, April 2022, I started my podcast. And the interim project I did, so shout out to Jigs and Matty, we started a YouTube channel called We're So Bloody Early. And that was kind of October through till December of 2021. Three of us just, you know, complete punters online chatting about Bitcoin. And at the time, like, Jigs and Maddie were both interested in the wider crypto market as well. And I was the main host of that three-way conversation. And I found myself, I really enjoyed doing that. I was like, wow, this is so fun, hosting conversation, steering, orchestrating, like, thoughts, essentially. And through that, I was like, I really want to do my own podcast, which was, like, let's say it's going solo, essentially. And that was what Bitcoin with Jake as a podcast came from. And it was quite amazing how many people I was able to get on that show. I did 80 episodes, including yourself, of course, with people all over the world, with different skill sets, with a different lens on what Bitcoin is. And I used that as another way of gaining conviction and increasing my portfolio allocation. So from it came, without any doubt, the opportunity that I now have with the Bitcoin Advisor, and also the opportunity that is Bitcoin as an investment in itself.
I absolutely love that, because you are living proof that putting in the work leads to opportunities and better opportunities in life. Plus, you get to pursue your passion and learn about it, too, put yourself out there. So the journey all the way around here, leading up to now with being with the Bitcoin Advisor. So I'm curious, what was the story while you're doing this podcast? What's the story behind you joining the Bitcoin Advisor team?
So Pete and I started talking in Q4 of 2020. So as part of this reallocation process, I was looking at Unchained. I like their multi-sig setup. Parker Lewis obviously is an absolutely outstanding Bitcoin educator, and he was really how I came across Unchained and started looking more closely at them. And I reached out and I said, look, I'm really interested in using your product, but I need to get some referrals or some kind of due diligence on this, like who's using this in a meaningful way and what volumes, etc. And they said, oh, well, we can introduce you to Pete Dunworth. You know, he's a financial advisor in Sydney that we work with very closely. And so Pete and I started talking then, and really just to get a referral on what Unchained was. And very, very quickly, that snowballed into like I mean, sometimes we were on the phone like multiple times a week over the last 2 to 3 years, always talking about Bitcoin, just chewing each other's ear off about what was going on. He obviously helped me make the reallocation of my own funds and get set up as a customer of his. But we became, you know, we've become really good friends. And that's really the organic process that kind of came out of diving down the rabbit hole. And you just don't know who you're going to meet and you don't know what's going to come out of that.
So true.
And Pete's probably 10 years older than me, roughly, and has become a bit of a mentor figure in some ways as well, like helping advise on what to do with the pod and how he enjoyed it and how he didn't like it and things like that. So, that's really where that got started from. The third main member of the team is Andy Pattinson. And Andy, he did his own proof of work project as well in many ways, just a shout out to him. He set up something called BitcoinSuper.io. Here in Australia, the super fund industry is essentially the pension scheme, and the government requires employers to pay an extra 10% per year, I think it is roughly, to employees that then have to invest it as part of a super fund. And so you can actually reallocate those funds in your inside your super here in Australia into Bitcoin self-custody.
Okay.
So I think the government hasn't figured out yet that people are taking money out of their system and putting it into Bitcoin properly, but it is possible, and I've done it myself. And so Andy, he's done that. So he took, you know, he's probably almost, he's in his 40s for sure. He's got, I'm sure, a very healthy super fund balance, and he took that and bought Bitcoin with it and then documented the process and is teaching people about it. So I guess all three of us have a combined kind of proof of work story in that sense. So I love what you're really highlighting there. And I couldn't encourage people more just to, in my case, I'm not a coder, right? I'm not a designer. I'm not someone who's going to sit down and build a website. I've tried a million times. I'm not good at it. But what I can do is write about stuff, tell stories, and talk to people. And that's also a lot of the broking background, right? It's just, you cannot have any fear. Pick the phone up, call anyone. And so that helps filter through to, yeah, where I'm at today, I guess.
I love the tie on too, to your old fiat job and the skills you learned there, translating that over to networking in the Bitcoin space that led to this opportunity. So walk me through now. So the Bitcoin Advisor, what's the main product offering here? If you were to pitch it to me in a couple sentences.
Sure. So the Bitcoin Advisor helps you sleep well at night when it comes to Bitcoin self-custody. To unpack that a bit more, the Bitcoin Advisor helps high net wealth investors to buy, secure, and manage their Bitcoin for the worst case scenarios. We're not a discretionary investment advisor, so we do not take funds onto our balance sheet and invest them on behalf of customers, which is a very, very different model to the traditional financial advisory business. And we literally just manage a key. I believe it's the best way to protect your wealth long-term because you have exposure to Bitcoin, but you also have the multi-sig self-custody. Now, in our product, we have built-in fail-safe mechanisms that mean that, you know, we can't collude with Unchained, for example, to steal your money. And equally, we have an inheritance protocol that we agree to with a customer at the very, very start that's extremely clear on what happens in the worst case of scenarios. So for me, it's just an essential piece of the puzzle when reallocating large amounts of value into the Bitcoin space.
Yeah, I agree completely. I have people in my network as well that fit that mold. And the only reason they haven't gotten into Bitcoin, they just don't feel comfortable, I guess, doing the custody part. They know it's something you need to do, but they're just not ready yet, I guess, to go down that. So having someone hold your hand is very much important, and especially if it's done right. So it sounds like you guys are on the right path here. What markets are you serving? Is this international?
Absolutely, it's international. So, you know, you will well know, and as will your listeners, Bitcoin doesn't care if there's a nation state anywhere, right? So whatever your local investment portfolio is in, you know, you could be sitting anywhere in the world and you'll be using the traditional status quo system to store wealth. Now you'll own equities, you'll own bonds, you'll own real estate, whatever you might be interested in, you will have to sell that and get it into your local fiat bank account. And then you're going to have to send that to a Bitcoin exchange, whichever is your local, you know, preferred Bitcoin exchange partner. And from there, once you've bought your Bitcoin, you're going to have to send it to whatever multi-sig provider you want to use. And the Bitcoin Advisor is technology agnostic. We like Unchained at this point, but there are other providers out there that we're looking at and could potentially work with if a customer so chose. such as Nunchuck, for example. Like they, those guys seem really great. We're talking closely with them about some stuff. So the market is totally global. And that's a feature, not a bug, right? So when you're managing two of three keys, having one of them in a different geographic location is already an excellent piece of security. Yep. You're not giving it to your cousin that doesn't give a shit about Bitcoin or your wife's sister or whatever. It's a bunch of highly trained, truly incentivized professionals that will make sure that in the worst case scenario, the right people get your funds. And I should shout out Eric. So there's a number of different kind of growth strategies that we're putting in place, but one of those is the Bitcoin advisor role. And the other is the Bitcoin advisor referral program. So as a, in your case, very specifically, I don't know if you're open to this necessarily, but the, as a Bitcoin advisor, we have, well, we're currently putting together a contract for people to work with us. And let's say, so that to explain the pricing structure, if you bring one Bitcoin to, you know, self-custody with the Bitcoin advisor, then per annum, we charge 1% of that Bitcoin value. It's paid in sats, so of course that fiat value fluctuates over time. But it's a similar business model to what a financial advisor would charge you to run funds discretionarily. And so that 1%, as a Bitcoin advisor, if you were to partner with us, 40% of the revenue of that customer that you bring to the table, provided you manage the onboarding and a number of other tasks, you will then take 40% of the revenue, and the Bitcoin advisor keeps 30% for operations, and then 30% will go to the partners of the Bitcoin advisor. That's the most kind of hands-on role that we're looking to scale with in terms of partners. Secondary to that, we have the referral program, which is basically if you make an introduction to the Bitcoin advisor for someone who brings a Bitcoin, then 10% of the revenue generated by that customer over the entire lifetime would go to you as an introductory fee. So to be really clear, like in perpetuity, we will partner with you for referral or as an advisor for as long as we have the customer. And I see that as a really effective way of in not only incentivizing the growth of our business, which is of course the self-interest in that, but also those friends and family you've just mentioned. Absolutely, we can help them set up multi-sigs, but we want to do it without you having like 10 bits of paper hidden under a pillow somewhere going, I've got your back in case something happens. And you can make some money on the way through. So I see it as a really win-win-win scenario. In particular, having created content in the Bitcoin space, I know how difficult to monetize it is. So if there's anyone out there that's a content creator and is educating people on what is this insanely important technology, we can help you monetize that content by partnering with the Bitcoin advisor.
Yeah, I think that's really great for this audience. It's almost a step in between getting a full-time role in the Bitcoin space.
Correct.
If you're listening to this right now, you have a network interest in buying Bitcoin. They're just not ready yet. Getting the Bitcoin advisor some referrals could lead to some potential opportunities in the future too. I'm sure if someone gave you 50 referrals, you'd consider bringing them on full-time to do sales, business development, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a great transition, and I'm sure the team would also like to help you grow and learn and, like I said, grow your network too while you're doing it. So that's a great, great way to get your feet wet in the industry here. Providing that opportunity is amazing too, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that in their networks, they have people that need this.
To zoom in on something quickly, Eric, is just this, the importance of self-custody cannot be overemphasized.
And yeah, I agree.
The Bitcoin advisors product, it's not for everyone, right? There's going to be some hardcore Bitcoin maxis out there that are totally self-sovereign, and they will be like, the Bitcoin advisor is a bunch of absolute wankers, go nowhere near them. And that's their view, and that's okay. The way that I see it is we have a number of different fail safes in place for the product that means that you're getting self-custody without being so secure that, you know, the what-if scenario means that your Bitcoin's lost forever.
Yeah,
and of course it's a gray area, right? At what point have you given up your self-sovereignty in order to give an advisor too much control, or at what point should you be doing it yourself? That's your decision to make. I was comfortable using this product, and that's why I'm so excited about sharing it with people. But you know, everyone out there, just do your own research. But I cannot be more. I cannot overemphasize the importance of self-custody. And if anyone's selling you something that doesn't give you full self-custody, you've got to be super, super careful of, like, you know, how much of your net worth you're putting in, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. I think, yeah, anyone listening right now, it's, you go down the rabbit hole and you think to yourself, oh, that's the way to go. I should take self-custody. I should learn the ins and outs, and then just teach everyone else this. But through my, I guess, experience over the last 5 years in the industry, I've realized most people won't take that step. And having someone like the Bitcoin Advisor, like an Unchained, to kind of be in there in the middle, help them out, will get them to custody their assets actually and safely so they won't lose it. So any of the hardcore Bitcoiners listening, I'm sorry, but in my experience, something like the Bitcoin Advisor is very much needed to grow adoption and custodial adoption too. Back to the company, I guess. So is it just you three guys right now?
So the way it's worked, or the way it's working, so Pete Dunworth had a business called Net Worth Advisors, and he was running that with his business partner, Juliet. And what we're doing is we're setting up a new limited liability business, which will be called the Bitcoin Advisor. Juliet and Pete will retain 60% of the business, and Andy and I have 20% each to grow things up. So, yeah, as Pete said recently, he's like, fuck that, you're founding partners, is how he's described it. So, yeah, we're super early. I think we've got about 20 customers as it stands. We've been going for 2 months, and we're really excited. I mean, I don't want to share too many numbers because in this particular space, you know, transparency is important, but also privacy is also important. So, we've come up with a new phrase, which is called BUM, and BUM is Bitcoin under management. And so we are helping people secure their Bitcoin. That is going to be one of our most important metrics and growing that over time. So someone might come to us with, you know, I can say this actually. So the average customer that's joining us at the moment has 9 Bitcoin.
Okay.
And that's kind of an interesting insight. So if we have 100 of those people, you know, we've got a very healthy amount of Bitcoin under management, and you can then start to work out the revenues that we'll create.
Yeah.
I fully expect others to compete with us in this space. We're being totally transparent on how we're doing this in terms of the actual process and the product. And the idea behind that is everyone, we believe everyone should be doing this. So the more financial advisors out there that we can get to do this and transition people away from the traditional finance markets and into Bitcoin, the better. We're happy to partner with you. You can take our model and build it yourself. That's absolutely fine. Where I see a really important way of at least building customer belief from our perspective as business owners, and this is where the content comes in. So as you mentioned, proof of work, it's just so important. I've done a load of content production over the last 2 or 3 years. That is my proof of work to kind of get a position in this company in some ways. But we're producing a newsletter. We're also producing our own podcast, and we'll continue to do that. So, you know, much like when I look at the exchange industry, I don't see fees going up for buying Bitcoin. I see them going down over time. And so what is that game? Well, that game is a brand game. It's about customer experience and brand. And so the Bitcoin Advisor is very similar. People are going to come along, rip off the business model, have a crack at our margins, all the rest of it. But if our customer relationship with the asset owners is better than anyone else's, then much like the financial advisory business, it's very sticky. And we can help people make money, and we make money at the same time. So from that perspective, it's very exciting where I think the business can go.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I think any business outside Bitcoin too, brand is really what you have to focus on nowadays, because it's so easy to rip off other people's businesses. So brand will win. That's the only differentiator. Back to the other co-founders you have with you. They're all Bitcoiners too, right? What's it like working with them, with Bitcoiners, compared to working with others in your past fiat jobs?
Yeah, good question. I think there's a level of trust and a long-term incentive in place that's just completely different to any other project I've been involved in. And that is fucking cool. That's what Bitcoin's all about, right? It's just cut the bullshit. This is what we're going to do. And it's, you know, that I like that old phrase of, you know, play long-term games with long-term people. And that's kind of what Bitcoiners are in some ways. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme. This is like a brand new system of finance. And it's going to be built slowly over time. And yes, there's going to be spikes in price and all the rest of it. And I absolutely am in that bucket of, you know, came for the gains, stayed for the revolution.
Yep.
So working with Bitcoin is, this is the first time I've started a business with them. It's really awesome. And this, the simple characteristics that come through, you know, everyone's working hard and seemingly in it for the right reasons, which is for Bitcoin, basically. This is a really important thing to educate people about and help bring to the world. I have been involved in, you know, for years in the startup space, and I went through some very exciting talent programs. So just to talk about them for a moment, this is full fiat land. So I went through one called Entrepreneur First and another called Antler, and they call themselves talent investors. And what they are is they're effectively venture capital funds, and they have a very, very expensive funnel that they create for talent, which is, you know, very heavy on the marketing. And they're really impressive businesses, to be honest. 100 people get accepted out of maybe 5,000 applications. And it's like a real life kind of Dragon's Den. I don't know, what's the American equivalent? Shark Tank or something. And you all get thrown in a room together. They pay you a small stipend to be there. So for 3 months, the program runs and you get paid a couple of grand a month to cover some costs. At the end of the 3 month program, you have to come up with a business plan for an extraordinarily valuable business, potentially, with a complementary skilled co-founder.
Okay.
And so I went into these programs. You were, you know, trying to build the next Google, essentially. I was the commercial side. I was working with software developers to come up with, like, digital product ideas. And it's all about move fast and fail. And that philosophy was how I thought about the world. I was looking for startup investments that were like hockey stick growth. It was about making lots of different investments and kind of diversifying your risk. The Bitcoin space is just completely flips that on its head. And the idea that like a savings technology exists enables you to get potential purchasing power gains akin to a startup, but it significantly reduced risk. And then it's like, well, actually, we're not doing this to create the next Google. We're not doing this to gain funds, the return on funds for a VC, like the type of business you can create as a result is very, very different. Because any sats flow that you create, you save in Bitcoin. So in 3-4 years time, you might honestly be sitting on a 5X. That's on the balance sheet of the business. So the way that Bitcoin functions as a long-term savings tool changes behavior. The way that in this instance, I'm not working under the yoke of venture capital timelines and risk and growth requirements, it's just completely different. And I think that in particular with Andy, shout out to him, we've worked together now for a month and the work he's getting through is just extraordinarily detailed, efficient and high quality. And you're like, boom, that's who I want to work with, is this kind of guy. And I'm Pete, I know well from before, I knew we'd work well together from becoming friends. But I haven't needed to go through any kind of due diligence process with Andy. I know he's into Bitcoin. I know he created Bitcoin Super. I know him and Pete are already working together closely on something. There's no, like, get involved. Like, just jump in. You know it's going to be a good vibe. So, yeah, it's been a great experience so far. I have to say, I will temper that, Eric, with I, this week specifically, have had a number of difficult conversations with my wife about how we're financing our family and where our net wealth is because of my, in some ways, obsession with Bitcoin. And I wanted to sell everything we own and buy Bitcoin, essentially. And I think that makes sense long term, but this is a long term game. And our expenses in the short term have been much higher than what we expected. Yeah. And so I've got a bit of a kind of credit crunch in a sense. It's like, okay, the business I'm starting, I'm very, very bullish of long term, but it's not generating income at the moment. So I'm still taking a risk with my day job. I've bought some Bitcoin. I'm also bullish on that long term. So I'm pretty clear where we're going long term. But in the short term, I have an expense problem that I need to solve in some way. Now, do I sell more of my savings to do that? Or do I try and pick up some work somewhere else? I don't know. So the listeners out there that you have, the entrepreneurial journey is not easy. And there are risks that you have to take in order to go down it. So I'm not going to sit here and paint like a perfectly rosy picture. I've also made some shit investments in the past. Like, oh, I inherited money. I've been investing. Yes, some of it went really fucking bad. So like, if you're interested in taking risk and like, it's that what if question, you know, as a 60-year-old, what am I going to look back on and wish that I did? Like, what if I'd done that? You know? So yeah, I don't know. We could talk about this stuff for hours. I'm sure you'll be in a similar space.
It's all resonating high with me right now. I think the idea you touched upon first was, okay, you have this Bitcoin now. We know it's going to go up into the future. The question is, how do you get from now until that time in the future and make sure you don't go bankrupt having to sell that Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Going through something similar too. Yeah, I mean, it's tough working in the Bitcoin space in a startup when you don't have that salary job that pays you out, you know, every bi-weekly, or however you do it over where you are. So yeah, it is a struggle, and I'm really glad you highlighted that too. So maybe that's someone that doesn't want to take so much risk, but still wants to work in the Bitcoin industry, lean towards working underneath an established Bitcoin company. But the exciting stuff, I think, is what you're doing. I think it's building something brand new out in the open with other Bitcoiners and taking on that risk. Mm-hmm. So salute to you there.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
Yeah, as we wrap this up here, I got a question for you. What's a piece of advice you give to someone looking to follow in your journey? Let's just say they went down the Bitcoin rabbit hole the last couple of years. They hate their fiat job. They're ready to break into the Bitcoin space. What can they do today and do over the next couple months, year, whatever it may be, to set themselves up for a job in the Bitcoin space?
I'm just writing something down as a note because I want to mention both. So two things.
Okay.
The first is very straightforward. Just don't fucking procrastinate any longer. Like, number one thing, just fucking do it. Whatever your idea is, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to just instill some confidence, some passion, some vibe. Like, it's, you can do it, and stop sitting around wondering about whatever it is you're going to do. In my case, I wanted to write about Bitcoin. It's like, well, don't worry about how many subscribers you've got. Don't worry about what it is you say. It's just so much more important to actually start doing something. So take action.
It is hard at first, not going to lie, publishing. But once you start doing it, it's great.
Yeah, it's, and you know, I spent ages trying to, it's like, is Substack the right choice? Like, what do I
want? Oh, I know.
It's garbage. It's all garbage.
Just publish.
Now, this is probably more important one, which is a framework. Shout out to Daniel Prince for really bringing this to my attention. I bought a book called The 4-Hour Work Week. So yep. Tim Ferriss's book. And I bought it probably a decade ago. And it sat on my shelf for 9 years and I never read it. And it's one of those things you kind of like, when I left uni, I was like, I should read this, but you're just not, I just wasn't mature enough at the time. I wasn't ready for it. And there I was, I just had my second child in October. So Cleo was born in September. So October last year. And I think I had Princey on my podcast and he spoke about the 4-Hour Work Week and how important that book was in his personal journey. And he was a broker like myself in Singapore, like myself, done 16 years in the FX markets. And he found this book, devoured it and was like, oh my God. And a few months later, he'd managed to change his life essentially. And the main piece of advice in that book that I found useful was a simple question. What is the worst that can happen? And so to anyone out there, you know, looking for some advice, ask yourself this question. What is the worst that can happen? And to put some context to that, my daughter in October last year was a real handful as a newborn. I was working as a ship broker and I was trying to podcast and I was not being a good broker. I wasn't being a great dad and I wasn't getting my podcast done. And it was like, this is not fucking working. Something's got to break. My wife described it at the time as like, I caught her at a low ebb. You know, she's just absolutely wrecked by a newborn baby. I'm like, I need to quit my job. I need to quit my job. I need to quit my job. And she was eventually like, okay, fine. I'll help at home more or whatever. But the worst case scenario was, you know, we go bankrupt. And that was my fear, being under a bridge somewhere. Yeah. And when I did the numbers, it's like, well, hang on. If I don't have this job for 12 months, then I don't earn $125,000 Aussie dollars of salary.
Sure.
That's the reality of not doing that for all the time. And it's now July, or it's the 1st of August today. And I'm a 20% equity partner in a new business and starting a new podcast. And, you know, I'm going to be full-time in the Bitcoin space. Had I not asked that question, what is the worst that can happen? I might easily still be in that previous job. And so, you know, some people will say, oh, well, you were lucky because you had some finance behind you to actually make that decision. That may be true, but you have to do it from a mindset perspective that's healthy for you. Again, it's a very poignant week to be talking about this. I'm feeling the heat big time in terms of financing and how we're going to, you know, pay for things and rent a house and how long is Bitcoin going to take? It's not at 100K. You're like, shit, yeah. You know, it's not easy, but it's just such a good question. What is the worst that can happen?
So true, man. And I'm glad I asked myself that, made some calculated decisions and took the leap of faith, quit my engineering job. And yeah, I mean, haven't looked back, and I've been loving every minute being a Bitcoin machine. Thank you, sir. Well, that was honestly a great talk. I learned a ton about you, your background. Yeah, building a business in the Bitcoin space. This is a great podcast, and I think the listeners will really like it too. So thank you for all your advice and your story. How can someone listening right now get in contact with you, and how can they learn more about the Bitcoin Advisor?
Great question. So www.thebitcoinadvisor.com, that's E-R at the end, is our website. So head there for all of the information you can possibly want about what the product is, who we are as a team, and our content as well. So you can sign up for our newsletter and watch our podcasts, either us as guests or weekly what we're producing in-house as well. Mm-hmm. And like many people in the Bitcoin space, I spend way too much time shitposting on Twitter. So Jake BTC Advisor on Twitter.
Awesome.
Or well, X, as they should now call it.
Yeah, and Twitter or X, whatever. It's the same place.
It's dumb, isn't it? What are you supposed to say? Join me on X.
Yeah, join me on X. And then we'll X instead of tweet, whatever that means. Well, Jake, yeah, it was a pleasure talking with you again. I'm rooting for your guys' success. Maybe we'll get back on the podcast in a year or so and get the update from you guys. Wish you the best.
Thanks for joining me. Thank you so much, Eric. Really appreciate it.
Hey guys, thanks for listening, and I really hope you found value in this podcast. If you are a job seeker looking to work for a Bitcoin company, or you're a part of a Bitcoin company and need help with finding talent for your team, please head over to our website at www.bitcointalent.co and get in touch with our team. Thanks, until next time.